Hi, this is a Life of Learning podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi everyone, today we have a special guest, Lauren. Hi Lauren.
Hi everyone.
Right, today we're going to be talking about shout, and more in particular about five things about being a shout volunteer. For those who don't know, I'm actually a shout volunteer. I've been a shout volunteer since September. So today we're going to go on and we're going to talk about being a shout volunteer. And Lauren is going to interview me, or you know, talk to me about being a shout volunteer. So Lauren, if you just can quickly just mention your background, just briefly mention your background so everyone knows.
Sure, yeah. So I'm Lauren, and my background is in clinical psychology research and mental health. So I've done volunteering myself in a variety of different settings, in offender personality disorder units, mental health homes, learning disability homes. And yeah, I'm currently a clinical research assistant and kind of work on a variety of different things, including clinical drug trials and mental health research.
Okay, cool. And there's many reasons why I asked you to sort of like come on the episode and interview me. I think one thing, I think you're under 25, and quite a lot of people that message into the Shout Crisis text line are under 25. So you can understand what people were going through under that group. And also, it's your field.
Absolutely. And being under 25, I recognise that, mental health issues are very, very prevalent in today's society. So yeah, I think I've got a lot to say, I hope.
Cool. Okay, so as I said, I've been a shout volunteer September. Yeah. So we're going to go for the first sort of like point that I'm going to raise in terms of sort of like actually becoming a shout volunteer and doing the training. So anyone can become a volunteer. So basically you go onto the Shout website, and all the links that we're talking about are going to be in the show notes. You go on to the Shout website and you apply. So you basically, it's just an online application. It's quite in depth, and they ask you questions about your own mental health. So essentially I sent my application form, and it took a long time for them to come back. Oh yeah, you need two referees. It took about probably 3-4 months to come back. And then they came back and said, I qualified. And then I went through a 25-hour training session, which spanned over about 2 or 3 months.
Okay. And what kind of stuff was involved in that then? What kind of training did you have to do?
Yeah, well, it's self-paced, it's all online. There's about 12 modules, and each you've got to pass before you move on to the next one. You just can't, you've got to pass it and move on to the next one. Yeah, so halfway during the training, you actually get it's a computer generated test scenario where it's like as if you're talking to a texter, and that is marked by a proper trainer. But all this training modules, the exams at each end of the, or the tests at each end of the module, are all done multiple choice. And so you get that halfway and at the end, and you've got to pass everything. Oh yeah, well, one thing as well, we mentioned before the call, we're going to have a trigger warning here. I'm going to mention it now. Because we're going to be talking about, was it sensitive mental health issues? So because we're talking about depression, suicide, self-harm, eating disorder, so I really want to put that out there now. So before we carry on, just make sure that your self-care is good, or just not listen to the rest of the podcast. And that's quite important, isn't it, Lauren, to mention that?
Yeah, 100%. I think because you don't know what kind of could be a trigger for someone's own mental health issues. Hearing these things can be almost like a precipitating factor for your own problems or your own traumas. So I think it's really important to mention that trigger warning, because you never know what might trigger someone.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you ready to go on to point two?
Yeah.
Fab. Okay, so what's the kind of second thing that you'd say about being a shout volunteer?
Okay, well, this is the time commitment. So essentially, obviously, once you've done your training, then you have to start really getting onto the platform, which they call it. Everything's all online. And the commitment they want you to do is they want you to do at least 2 to 4 hours a week, which is a big commitment. So if you're thinking about becoming a volunteer, this is one thing that you need to sort of like consider. And they would like you to do at least 200 hours. Now they can say that you're meant to do that within the first year, but I'm not sure how strict that is, but they would like you to do 200 hours because obviously they're paying for you to train. Oh yeah, one thing, the training is free. I forgot to mention that. The training is free. So so that's the level of commitment that you have to do.
I think it's probably one of your other points, but how do you find that fits into your day-to-day life? Is it quite flexible or?
Yeah, it is. And so in terms of the commitment aspect, for me, I just do it as and when I can, because as you know, life comes in and, you know, before you know it, you know, maybe missed out a week or whatever. But, you know, I think you can just try and do it as and when you can, because I mean, so I know some people that, you know, actually, you know, do the 2 to 4 hours a week, but some one week I'll do 2 hours and the next week I'll do four, and then one week I'll just do one. So the third point, which I'd like to say, is really, really flexible, because it's all online, all, you know, you can do it in the comfort of your own home and stuff like that. So yeah, it's flexible. So if you really want to sort of like get into this, you know, you can fit it around your busy lifestyle. So that's one thing I would say, is you've got the, I mean, I mentioned two things there, obviously the time commitment that you need to commit to, very, 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 very flexible.
Yeah, I think as well, it's really good that it's flexible, because I think that if you're having a bad day and you were planning on maybe doing some texts that day, you have to kind of acknowledge your own mental health and how you're feeling, because I think that's a really important thing about being a volunteer. And I think the fact that it is flexible makes it more accessible for volunteers, which therefore makes it more accessible for service users. Do you know if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that self-care, because that's one thing that Shout really, really, really not harp on about, but they're really concerned about the volunteers' self-care, because they do say that, you know, if you're not ready to do a shift, then don't do it. And even after you've done a shift, because so what you do is you log onto the platform and you check in with your supervisor, and your supervisor's there to help you if you've got an issue with a particular texter, or you know, you just want some advice about something. And especially if you have a quite a heavy conversation with someone, the supervisor will ask you, you know, how you feeling, you know, are you feeling okay after this? And there's also a group chat within the platform, which allows you to sort of like debrief. So, you know, if you've got something that you've spoken about that's causing you, going to be causing you a little bit of issues, maybe after you've logged off, then you could always speak to people. And there's always someone, there's coaches online as well. So the support is really, 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 really good in terms of sort of like self-care. And and they do make sure that, you know, your self-care is important, and they do stress it. They talk about it all the time, and they want the volunteers to, you know, to be, you know, not go through their own sort of like crisis whilst they're volunteering.
Absolutely. And I think that's really common as well, because when, as a volunteer and in kind of clinical work as well, when you're being exposed to other people's kind of emotional residue, it's really important that you are looking after yourself as well, because when constantly hearing traumatic stories and experiences, you know, that rubs off on people. And I think it's so important that you have that support. And like you said before, you have that opportunity to debrief with your supervisor, because reflecting on how that's made you feel and reflecting on how you dealt with that and based on your own experiences is just so important when working with people with mental health issues.
And you know, after you've sort of like done that debrief, or you know, with, you know, with your supervisor and stuff like that, it's important to do your own self-care after you've logged off. And they stress that as well. They said, you know, thanks for helping out today on the shift. Make sure, you know, you look after your self-care after the call. Because it is challenging, I'm not going to lie. It is challenging doing something like this. But it is very, very, very rewarding. Yeah, so I'm just going to let you know some of my self-care things that I do. As you
yeah,
know,
that's I've, what I was going to ask you. Yeah. Next I was going to say, what is self-care for you? Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's definitely doing a Rubik's Cube, doing a, you know, 10, 15 minutes of Rubik's Cube, playing online chess. That really, yeah. really helps.
Yeah.
Because most of my shifts are done sort of like in an evening. So,
yeah.
you know, for me to go out and go for a walk in the park and stuff like that, or go outside is not probably an option for most people, but those are the things that I probably do. Self-care and just speaking to family, not obviously about the shift, but you know, just knowing there's someone else there in the, you know, in the house to talk to. So those are the kind of go-to things. And also I do journaling as well.
Great. I think especially in this kind of line of work, reflecting on things in like in terms of a journal, I think it's really good.
And also I try and look at things and think, right, what could I have done better in this conversation that I had, you know, so that I can improve. So that's one thing that I do as well.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I think as well, it's really important for people to know that self-care doesn't necessarily mean doing something big. It can be something just as small as just having a shower and putting a face mask on or something like that. It can be really small things. Just, you know, that's my self-care. Just go jump in the shower.
Yeah, good, okay.
And put a face mask on, you know, if I've had a difficult day. Reading a book, you know, going on a walk. They can be really, really simple little things. They don't need to be, you know, really time consuming. They can kind of fit into your like everyday life, really.
So those are, you know, those are the things that, you know, if you do become a shout volunteer, you need to really check yourself and make sure that, you know, you're ready to sort of like, you know, come on these conversations, these text conversations, and you know, able to deal with these you know, people in crisis, essentially.
Absolutely. I think that's really important. I mean, I think we're ticking off quite a lot of the points as we go.
So
what's the kind of next thing that you'd like to kind of speak about? What's the next point?
I think it's really the one I think is making a difference, because you're actually speaking to the, you know, the people that are, that have got their crisis, you're actually directly helping them. I think whilst this is a challenge, it is very rewarding, but also, you know, you know, you get some people that will give money to charity, but you don't know how much of that money is actually, you know, getting to the, you know, getting to the people that actually need it. Whereas when you're doing this text service volunteering, you're actually dealing with the people that are in crisis. And so you're really, really, really making a difference. And, you know, one thing I will say is, you know, if you do, you know, if you do do it, for me, the most important, not one of the most important things, but one of the things that I get, which makes it all worthwhile, is when someone says, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I really wanted to speak to someone now. And for me, that was just, it made me, you know, it gets you emotional, and it makes you want to come again for the next shift, because you know that you're actually making a difference.
Yeah, 100%. And do you find that happens a lot, that people are appreciative? Because I'd say that working with people with different complex kind of mental health issues, you sometimes don't receive that appreciation, and that can sometimes kind of diminish that feeling of satisfaction. So do you feel like you get that a lot, or is it kind of just
I would say probably, let's have a look, maybe 60-70% of the time you get people thanking you.
That's quite high, really. I think it is
quite high, or maybe it's at least 50%, I would say.
Yeah
At least 50%, I suppose you would say is quite high then.
I think it is still very high. I think, you know, you can often, you know, when people do have mental health issues, their first thought isn't really to kind of thank you as a volunteer, as a clinician, but when they do, it really does feel that sense of satisfaction. Is just, it's amazing. And I hear what you're saying, it makes you want to come back again.
So I mean, what I wanted to really do, you know, for this sort of like podcast was just to highlight what it's like to be what's it like to be a volunteer. Like I said before, it's challenging, it's rewarding at the same time, and you'll definitely learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's such a good thing to do. And I think it's so important. And when I was kind of doing some research earlier, I could see that this is the only, I believe the first and only free confidential text messaging support service, which I think is, I think it's great, because I think, you know, no matter how you're feeling, knowing that you've got someone there to speak to, because not everyone does have someone there to speak to. And I think it's amazing what you're doing, being that person for people who don't necessarily have that support network.
No, I agree. And it is the first free text messaging service in the UK. Mm-hmm. And there are others around the world. So I've got international listeners. Yeah, in the UK, if you do volunteer, you're only allowed to do your volunteering within the UK, within UK. So if you go abroad and go to, I don't know, another country, you cannot volunteer. You cannot do a shift, essentially. But there are other similar crisis helplines. There's one in the US, there's one in Canada, and there's one in Ireland. So if anyone in those countries wants to sort of like become a volunteer, then they can actually do the same training as probably I did, and the same sort of, it's almost the same it's almost the same setup in these other countries. For those people that are living outside the UK, but I'm sure there are other sort of like in other countries similar text messaging services that, you know, you could possibly volunteer for as well.
As I said, I just think it's really important that Shout is around, and I think it's really great that you've kind of began volunteering with that. And did you find it kind of difficult first going into it, because obviously your background, your professional background, isn't necessarily mental health? So how did you find that? Kind of, were you quite surprised by some of the things you were facing?
You know, as I said, we've already done the trigger warning, so you're going to get people, you're going to get keep people coming on with about bullying, self-harm, they're going to be suicidal, depression, anxiety, abuse, you know, child abuse. You know, you're going to get young and mainly young texters. I mean, they say that about 80% of the texters are under 25. So, you know, and these people are, you know, these texters are, you know, they're struggling, you know, they've got no one else basically to talk to. So it is challenging, some of the content and some of the situations that the texters are in. But, you know, if you do your self-care, you know, you're empathetic, and, you know, and every now and again, you know, you do get the thank you. It is really rewarding. And as I say, you are making a difference, no matter, you know, no matter what the outcome is, you are making a difference.
Yeah, 100%. I think you are. And as I say, like, I just think that things like this are really, really needed. And yeah, it's great. So I think we've been through most of the points. Is there anything else you kind of want to mention? Volunteer?
No. I think that's it. As I said, all the links and everything is going to be in the show notes. And I think, yeah, one thing I will say is, once you become sort of like a Shout volunteer, once you sort of like get into the Shout ecosystem, there's a lot of more training that you can do. There's a lot of groups where you can have special sort of coaching sessions. There's also sessions where it's called a reflective session, where you can come on and just talk about, you know, some of the things that you've been going through on on your conversations. Obviously, you've got to be, there's you can't talk about the actual conversation, because that is that's confidential, but you can you can talk about a situation that maybe you've been in and stuff like that. There's loads of coaching, online training, so you know, once you do become a Shout volunteer, you can enhance your training based on the original set of training that you've come on. And there's always support. That's one thing I will say. You are never alone. The supervisors are fantastic. So don't feel that you're on your own. I think that's one thing that I would say. Once you're on there, you've got the support around you.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think, I mean, in psychology myself, I think it's a really great opportunity for young people to get involved in things like this, because obviously you say about 80% of people are under 25. I think it's a really great chance for young people to, as well, you know, someone who's working in psychology, it would be, if I kind of known about this before, it's really great experience if this is a kind of line of work that you want to go into, doing this kind of volunteering, especially with the kind of extensive, like, free training that you get as well. I think it's a really good opportunity for people to, get some experience in this kind of
It's funny you should say that, because I'm pretty sure that a vast majority of the volunteers, not vast majority, but quite a lot of them, are students that are in that field, and they do it. They do it because obviously they, you know, they care about it and they want to do it.
Yeah.
But it's also going to help them with their studies as well.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, with that kind of level of flexibility that you can work from home and do it as a university student, that's a great way to get some experience and to also figure out if this is something you actually want to do long term. I think this is kind of throws you in the deep end, doesn't it, really?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity there. And there's a lot of self-personal growth as well. I've definitely changed doing doing this volunteering for sure, all for the good.
I think it's really good. And one more question I was going to ask as well. Sure. So you said you have a supervisor. What is their kind of like job role? What do they do? Like, is that...
So they will basically support you. So if you're stuck with a particular issue, or if someone... Yeah. They call it an active rescue, essentially, where they need to call emergency services. They would be the ones that would actually... do that part of it, and they will just support you, like I said, if you've got a conversation that you don't know what to say, or resources, you know, they might have an idea of what resources that you can send out to the teacher as well. So that's their main role, essentially. Their main role is to support you on the platform, essentially.
That's good. That's great. Okay. Well, I've got kind of no more questions. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, that's good. Yeah, as I said, all the links will be in the show notes. Lauren, thanks for coming on and talking about it. It's been great.
Not a problem. Thank you so much. And well done to everyone who's a shout out volunteer, and to anyone who was obviously thinking about doing it. I think it's great. And thank you for having me on.